You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about Pope Francis's recent visit here to the United States. The Argentine-born Francis is a son of immigrants. And there's a lot of interesting conversation going around on party politics with different individuals, with different organizations, on to how important this message is. Is it a good idea that he's in the United States? What is he doing? And what does it matter for us U.S. citizens? And I think this is an interesting time. I think this is a time that we can all gather around. And I do believe that Pope Francis, to some degree, has a good message. Now, whether or not you accept everything that he has to say, that's between you and him. However, I do think that some of the things that he is explaining and bringing about and actually making awareness for is something that we might want to listen to. And I think a lot of it, too, is our ability to have freedom. And I know if any of y'all watched the CNN live White House speech, if any of you watched the actual walking down Congress in the Pope Mobile when he actually went by and got to wave and, you know, and make and smile and take pictures, you know, from a distance, with occasionally a child being able to be lifted up to the Pope Mobile where he was able to give a kiss on the child's forehead, what have you. I thought it was a very nice sentiment. And I understand I'm not personally Catholic. I was raised Catholic and I ended up leaving the Catholic Church. And the reason why I left the church is just because I found that I believed in God, but I believed in God on my own thoughts. I believe that God is within. I believe that the air that you breathe is God. And I don't believe that you have to go to an actual church and an actual religion to find God. I think that God is everywhere in the air we breathe. And I understand that. And I think one of the biggest things that I believe in is environmental causes and the ability to take care of our environment. And in that respect, I believe that Pope Francis's direct conversation about our sacred obligation to protect our planet is invaluable. I feel there's a lot of people in party politics on both sides that want to act like it doesn't exist. There is no problems. Some people want to, you know, talk about it all the time. Other people want to act like it doesn't exist. But I feel like it's okay that Pope Francis is speaking to the United States. And there's some people out there, some doomsdayers right now, who are talking about how this is the end of times. End of times. There's a lot of things going on beginning on Wednesday that caused a lot of stress and strain. And so I think that when we think about Pope Francis's visit, I mean, I had a feeling of happiness when I first saw him speak and show up when everybody was watching the news, waiting for him to show up on the White House lawn. And it was very interesting. And you had President Obama introduce him and what have you. You know, it was hard to kind of listen past some of the CNN rhetoric. However, it was hard to really speak on party politics when you watched him. And I know that there's been a lot of talk about immigration. And I know that I'm just as interested in this race as anybody else. I'm just as interested in this race as anybody else. And there's been a lot of talk about immigration and the ceasing of immigration. And I don't know really where I stand on that right now. Remember, Perspectives is always more answers, less questions. But I want to talk about the facts right now. Let's talk about the facts. And then we'll talk a little bit about the gray area. Later on, I actually have Lydia Bean. She is a founder, executive board, directors of the Faith of Texas, involved in Dallas with the Cathedral of Guadalupe. And she's going to be talking a little bit later about her adventures this last week, visiting in Philadelphia, seeing the Pope speak, that kind of sort of thing, and what she's taking away from the experience. And better yet, I think that, you know, this is a time for us to come together. And it's not, I believe, a religious type sect, because I don't think you have to be Catholic to respect the fact that there's somebody talking about peace and unity. On the flip side, I can understand how some people might say, you know, the Vatican is like another, it's another nation. It's got its own nation. It's got its own, you know, basically police. It's got its own everything. It's very wealthy. And there's been a lot of questions, and there's some people that would say that, you know, how do they feel about gay marriage? How do they feel about this and that? But right now, I think if you're looking at just the facts, there's certain things that we need to remember. And I think that on both sides in the United States recently, we haven't been dealing with the real news. We've been dealing with some of the real news, but we haven't really been dealing with the real news. And I consider the real news to be climate changes, our environmental changes. The environmental changes that we are going through right now will affect all of us for our lifetime. The amount of pollution that we continue to pollute our earth will impact us. And if we don't figure out how to stop doing the negative pollution and polluting our earth, we don't figure out how to stop that, we are in for a rude awakening. I mean, you really can't argue with the pictures of the Arctic where you see that polar bear, you know, literally clinging to that little piece of ice that's left. I mean, you know, we have to look at the way that life is, and we do have global warming that is obvious. And I know there's some people that will argue with that, but I don't think that you have to be on one side of party politics or the other to see factual evidence. And I think that the Pope coming into the United States allows us to see a little bit of what reality is about, because everybody is connected. And that's what we talk about a lot on Perspectives. Everyone is connected. Everybody has a spirit. Everybody has value. And I think it's interesting because when we think about value and personal value, you know, a lot of people get it. A lot of people see other people as having, you know, value, about respecting them, about seeing them, about, you know, being able to talk to people and see them as a person, not just another means to end to get what you want. And I think that when we really look at our life, in our lifetime, I mean, I want to make it something absolutely amazing. And every single person I meet matters to me. And it's not just about saying, hi, how you doing? It's about getting to know people at a core cellular level where you can actually communicate with them in an authentic manner. And the boundaries and the fencing away of real emotions go by the wayside. Because I think a lot of times in this lifetime, a lot of people would prefer to put up a front than to really deal with the reality of the situation. And I think that Pope Francis, being that I'm not Catholic, it's not that I'm a Catholic person that's saying that the Pope is the greatest thing next to sliced bread. However, what I am saying is that I think that it gives us a little bit of reflection. You know, we have such a separation of church and state here, and I think it's interesting. It's like right when I was talking to some of my friends, they were like, immediately, this is the end of times. They're going to be opening the book of Revelations. We have start the end of times. You know, the 15-headed dragons will appear and the end of the world will come about. You know, and I understand that some of us see some things in the book of Revelations, that some of us read into things like that. And maybe some of that is real, maybe it's not. But I don't think that the arrival of the Pope is going to cause the end of times. I do think that it's going to allow us to see, to some degree, humanity, the concept of humility, but also the concept of not being able to walk over the truth about certain things. Being that everybody counts, that's something. Being that everybody's connected, that's another thing. Being that the environment matters, that the way we treat the universe is directly reflected on how we treat other people and how we treat ourselves. And I've done countless shows on this. You know, if you go to AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com or AshleyBurgessNetwork.com, I've done countless shows on the concept of how all of us are connected. We're connected to the earth and we're all solidly connected as individuals. And even though we are individuals, we are part of an organism. We're part of a whole. And I think that his message does depict this to some degree. And I think it's interesting because I think it does put and shed some light on this invisible thread, this invisible coming together, this invisible connection, you might say, that we all have. And I think it's interesting, too, if you really think about, you know, old school philosopher Immanuel Kant, you know, he talked about the veil of ignorance. It's like, you know, the veil of ignorance policy and philosophy was a cornerstone on the fact that, you know, it wasn't about making haphazard laws and judgments based on whatever, but it's making laws to help other people in the theory that you don't know if you will be one of the people that have to step up and bow to that law. And what I'm saying is that the veil of ignorance principle is being that you make rules and regulations based on the fact that you have to follow those as well. And I feel that in the last 10 years, and even more so in the last 2 to 3 years, there's been a snowball effect in a positive manner when it comes to truth. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's about the internet. It's because of smartphones. We're able to record things. We're able to videotape things. We're able to find out if somebody's truly telling the truth or if they're full of BS. But I think even more so is that the crucialness of being true. There's an overwhelming need for authentic, for factual stuff, where we're all just needing this. And I think there's a whole group of people now that make up a large part of society who are over, they're over being dealt and fed news that no longer matters. I mean, all of us know, there's a group of people that know that one of the biggest important facets of life is drinking water, environment. We're on planet Earth together. Can we take care of planet Earth? Because if we can't, and we continue to pollute and to basically increase our filth level on this planet, we will have nowhere to live. All the other stuff will fall by the wayside. All this other drama, all this other three-ring circus that we watch on the news will have no meaning whatsoever. So when I return, Lydia will be joining us here in the studio. And I'd like to talk about, you know, this encounter that we have. This really neat culture of encounter. I want to talk about our climate changes. I want to talk about justice for all. But better yet, I want to talk about what this means to us, Pope Francis's visit, and what it's putting into perspectives. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live with Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about, you know, Pope Francis' speech, about his arrival to the United States, about his ability to command attention with us people in the United States as well as across the world. There's a lot of people talking right now because they're wondering, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? But better yet, what does this mean for our world? And I felt almost overwhelmed with joy. You know, I'll be honest with you. When I first was waiting for Pope Francis to show up, and everybody was waiting, you know, on the White House grounds, and you're watching CNN, and you're watching this stuff happen, and you go, you know, this is really monumental. And I don't really know if people realize how monumental this is. And better yet, to me, I believe that Pope Francis shares a voice of wisdom and honesty that I think that we all enjoy and we reflect upon. And I believe that it means more to us than just that. I believe that it means things to everybody, including the people here in Dallas, Texas as well. And, you know, I don't always do exclusive things to Dallas, Texas, but right tonight we're going to talk a little bit about Dallas and how Pope Francis's speech and his availability here in the United States means something. Joining me tonight, Lydia Bean is the Executive Director of Faith in Texas, and she's joining Perspectives in the studio tonight to discuss Pope Francis's this entire event and his arrival. I'm so glad to have you, Lydia. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
Awesome.
How are you?
I'm doing great. So tell me a little bit more. I know that you are the Executive Director of Faith in Texas. Tell me a little bit more about that organization.
So Faith in Texas develops leadership in low and moderate income faith communities. We're a multi-faith organization. We include many Catholics, but also Protestants, Muslims and Jews. People of other faiths are also welcome. And what we do is we build leadership inside these congregations to tackle the systemic problems that affect their communities. So we start with listening inside of faith communities to see where the sources of pain are, what are the broken systems that people are encountering in their everyday lives. Then we develop leadership teams inside these congregations to actually be able to negotiate with the people that make decisions about those systems. And so to really connect people with public life and connect their faith to public life.
That sounds interesting. I mean, I think a lot of us can all organize our mind around this, because I think it's important when everybody feels as though they are respected and they have a position in life. You know, I talk about this on my show, is that it's all about authentic lifestyle. It's about having that trueness, about recognizing that everybody matters. And I think that's honestly where we are with Pope Francis's arrival. And how do you feel about that? Do you think that his message is a message not only of hope, but a message of organization, but that of respecting other people and realizing that we're all connected somehow?
Yeah, I think that's a great way of summing it up. If you want to sum up Pope Francis's core message in two words, it would be that everybody matters. in Catholic social teaching, which Pope Francis is drawing on and extending, it, you know, the core concept is the dignity of the human person, which is just a fancy way of saying that everybody matters. And that's everybody, no exceptions. So that includes undocumented immigrants. That includes people in prison. It's no mystery why Pope Francis will be visiting a jail while he's in Philadelphia. He's famous for going into prisons and washing the feet of prisoners. And so it's this message about human dignity and the fact that everyone matters and the spiritual significance of every human life.
I think it's interesting too, because I'm a big environmentalist, and you know, a lot of people, you know, they can say one thing or another, and some people have called me, you know, a tree hugger and so forth, and I'm happy to be a tree hugger, to be quite honest with you. I do think that he also gives us a word about a Mother Earth and how we are all connected, but we all have a purpose of maintaining, but not only maintaining, but trying to really take Mother Earth and clean the process, clean the planet, and kind of rejoin, because this is really all we have.
Yeah, and for Pope Francis and for Catholics and many other faith leaders, environmentalism really comes down to it's a person-centered approach to caring for the environment. So the reason we care for the environment is because the people who are poorest are the most hit by climate change. And the same thing that a lot of environmental abuse is ultimately rooted in an indifference to your fellow humans and to, you know, refusing to live within the limits that we've been provided with by a good creation. And ultimately, those are the same sin that leads to oppression, economic oppression, to racism, to exploitation of immigrants. They're all connected. Pope Francis talks about an invisible thread that connects all of these problems that afflict the human condition. And that invisible thread is greed and indifference.
I agree with you. I'm a big environmentalist. I'm also big about treating people with respect and dignity to everybody, every single person that I meet, everybody I see. And I think it's interesting when you kind of come to that understanding in life. And I guess I wasn't really brought up that way, but it just came as like a sixth sense. Like I knew that the way I treat my environment matters. The way I treat my neighbor matters. The way I treat the custodian matters, you know? And I think that sometimes a lot of children are not being taught this, or it might not be innate, you know, within them. And I think that he's giving us a message of, hey, this is really true. You can try to overlook it, but, I mean, your sole purpose is based on this.
Yeah, I think Pope Francis does a really good job of communicating the values of the Catholic Church in this very human way. The phrase he often uses, he says more than any other phrase almost in his speeches, is the phrase a culture of encounter. And that sums up just what you're talking about. For example, an encounter with the custodian in your business, right? The idea is that every interaction you have, you're really seeing the other person as fully human and reflecting God's image. And that changes how you do things. So I think what Pope Francis is adding is also connecting that to systemic issues. So it's not just that we should individually be nice and friendly to each other, which honestly, I think Texans have that down. We're the best. We're the friendliest. But we don't always connect it to the systems in our lives that are making choices for us, right? So, you know, I think people in Dallas are the first to be really nice and say good morning to the custodian as they're walking into work. But what happens when your business makes a decision to privatize your custodian services and your friendly custodian loses her health benefits? What do we do then? We often don't connect those dots. Our values about affirming everyone's dignity don't always connect to systemic injustices. And that's what Pope Francis is really helping us to do in a very accessible, warm, and loving way.
I agree with you, and I can see what you're saying, because sometimes we don't put two and two together. You might be, you know, friendly with somebody, but you're not really understanding where they're coming from or maybe what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the foundation for justice, I mean, sometimes when we talk about climate change or economic justice, people think in terms of these very abstract policy debates, and it can get confusing. But what Pope Francis is really doing is, let's bring it down to this idea of a culture of encounter, the way we affirm each other's humanity in our everyday lives. That's the foundation for public policy. It's the foundation for, you know, our policies about regulating climate change. It's a foundation of everything. And on the flip side, all of our problems as a nation, as a city, as a world can be traced back to, you know, practicing what he calls a cultural of indifference, where we basically see people as objects, which is the opposite of a culture of encounter that affirms everyone's dignity.
You know, it's interesting. Right before I came into the studio tonight, I had to go by and get some gas. And for everybody listening, I think a lot of my listeners, at least for the last 3.5 years, know that I like to see how far I can go. I like to see when I get past the zero line to see how far I can keep driving. It's like a bad episode of Seinfeld. And I like to see how far I can go. So I finally stopped to get gas. And, you know, this girl was walking around the gas station. There was a lot of people there, and I'd already spoken to a couple of people. And she came by and she said, you know, I just can't believe this. I left my wallet at home. I have my child and my dog in the car. And I'm just trying to get, you know, just get a couple of dollars here and there, and I can get enough. I'm just on empty. And at first, you know, I went into my wallet and, you know, it's not like, I mean, I'm on a radio salary, guys. I'm not, you know, come on. So I don't make that much money. And and I looked down in there and I was like, you know, I've been here before. And it all of a sudden, it was just really interesting. I remember when I was 18 years old, I remember I traveled up to Houston and I don't know what happened, but I didn't have any money. And I guess my credit card wasn't working and I was completely out of gas. And I remember this gentleman handed me $40. And he goes, here. He goes, I'll pump the gas for you, too. And I just looked down, and I had 20, and I handed it to her, and she started crying.
Wow.
And she's like, oh, my God. And she's like, what's her name? And I introduced myself, and we talked for a second, and she just started crying. She goes, I'm going to pay this forward. And I said, that's great. I was like, have a great day. I was like, take care of the kid. Take care of the puppy, you know? But I think a lot of times we lose sight, and it's like right when I was like, right when we were handshaking, it all came into view. Me as an 18-year-old kid at that gas station late at night in Houston with no money. And I think that, I know that this sounds like a pay it forward thing, but I really think that this is the title of engagement that we discuss, is that none of us are an island and nobody is just like all powerful with nobody's help. And I think that it all is kind of intertwined in like this fabric of life. And I do believe, like what you were saying, Lydia, that, you know, honestly, it's more of a message of dignity, and it's more of a message of encounter and being able to also see, I think, the power within every moment. You know, mm-hmm. everything we choose, because we have choice, but we can choose one way to be more enlightened or one way to kind of, you know, basically darken the room.
And I think your story reminds me, I had an experience like that too, where I ran out of gas in a really low income neighborhood in Waco. And it was so embarrassing. I ran out of gas and I pulled into the station and the station was out of gas, which happens in really poor neighborhoods, right? They run out of gas.
Oh, man.
And they just don't refill it. So I'm stuck, it's dark, and you know, there's not many street lights, and this woman just runs around the corner to another gas station. She gets in her car, she fills up one of those little buckets.
Oh, wow.
She helps me out. And I tried to pay her back and she's like, no, someone helped me. And I think with this, I was very humbled by that because I knew they weren't folks who had a lot.
Yeah.
And they either helping. I was so embarrassed, you know, that they wouldn't let me pay for my own gas. But it actually connects to another theme of Pope Francis, which is that his ethic, a lot of his passion comes from his own experiences ministering among people who are very poor. So sometimes when we talk about poverty, often we think about it in terms of charity of those who have more to those who have less. But one of Pope Francis's big points is that that poor people have lessons about interdependence. And often the most generous people are those who have gone through economic struggle themselves. And so that's actually why it's why I do what I do, because I think the people who are in economic struggle actually have some important moral wisdom for our country in this moment. And I want to see them have a stronger voice in public life. And there's really no substitute for the voice of people who have been through economic struggle, because, you know, sometimes you can have this sort of condescending social worker, let's do for poor people, let's come up with cute policy fixes, you know, that will fix their problems. But the voice of poor people themselves is irreplaceable. And so that's, Pope Francis is not, he's constantly emphasizing, he says, I want to be a church for the poor, but I also want to be a church of the poor. And I think that really sums up where he's coming from.
That's awesome. That's awesome. When we return, we'll be talking more about Pope Francis, about what it means, what he's talking about, and the implication for our country as well. Stay tuned. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about Pope Francis's recent visit. You know, Pope Francis has been here all week, and I think leaving on Monday. And I think this is very essential. I just believe that when he first showed up on the White House lawn and he gave his speech, I just thought it was revolutionary. I thought that we had something, and I had a tear or two, you know, I really did. I had a couple of tears in my eyes, and I sat there and I literally came home to watch it because I'd been at work before, and I came home to watch it, and I actually held my puppy and we watched it together. And it was really funny because right when he started speaking, my dog was kind of walking around and he stopped. He stopped and he looked right at the screen and just sat there. And then he sits down and lays down and is watching this. And then wow. That's when I... Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And so Lydia Bean joins me, Executive Director of Faith in Texas. And Lydia and I have been talking, if you're just now tuning in, we've been talking about what her organization is doing, but better yet, what she's been doing this whole last week and weekend with Pope Francis. Tell us a little bit about what's been going on this week.
Yeah, so this week was huge for us as an organization. We're part of a national network called PICO, which is founded by a Jesuit priest, which is the same order that Pope Francis is from. And so for us, the Pope's visit, we actually found out about it a little bit before everybody else did. And we bought a bunch of hotel rooms in Philadelphia. And we started preparing before anyone else knew. You know, we kind of bought our block of hotel rooms. So we've been preparing for almost a year. And so this week we did a variety of events to celebrate the Pope's visit to the U.S. And we started with a watch party at Mocha Coffee Shop in Deep Ellum to watch the Pope address Congress. And this was actually a multi-faith watch party. So it was open to people of all faiths and no faiths, just recognizing that Pope Francis, he's obviously the head of the Catholic Church, but he's also a world leader who's providing a moral message that we all need to hear of variety, you know, regardless of our faith or lack of faith. And then on Saturday, we had a vigil outside of the Dallas County Jail. And that was basically imitating, following the example of Pope Francis, who visited a jail when he was in Philadelphia. And so it was a message about affirming the dignity of all people, and particularly people who are in prison or separated from their families by deportation. So we had our own vigil where people brought photos of loved ones who are in prison or who've been deported. And we lifted up their names. And really, the message is we use the hashtag, do you see me? Because, again, it's like it's about seeing the full humanity of all people.
That's so true. And I do think seeing is interesting. I think that's an interesting word to use because a lot of times people, it's like they kind of don't even look. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like you mm-hmm. walk down the street and you see some people that don't even get it. And I'm one of those kind of people, I really pay attention to people and I pay attention to energy. And so, okay, so there you are. Y'all are doing your vigil at the prison, but y'all also... I mean, you know, you think about all these different events that you're at, and you think about all the people that were brought together. And if you even go back to the original, the original speech at the White House, and then him taking the Pope Mobile down Congress, and it was very interesting to watch because you had all these children that wanted to, you know, that wanted to meet the Pope. You had all these people going crazy, and the cool thing was that there wasn't anybody, you know, there wasn't anybody really picketing. There wasn't issues. I mean, I felt like even if people weren't Catholic, it didn't really matter. It was like kind of like a faith-based overall, like American, but everybody type thing.
Yeah, we needed this moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I don't really remember a moment that brought us together like this since maybe 9/11. And even that was different because that created a lot of backlash against Muslims and people perceived as, you know, Muslims in America. So this is in many ways like the biggest unifying moment that we've had in maybe decades. And it's interesting because even though the Pope is a Catholic figure, he's also meaningful to people of other faiths because he just has this open hand. He has this open affect. He speaks in a way that even though he's mostly addressing Catholics much of the time, he's always kind of including those of us. I'm Protestant. You know, he's always kind of including all of us to listen in and including us in the message and thinking of the values that we all hold dear. And we haven't had that in the U.S. a while. We've been so divided over issues of faith being used as kind of a weapon. And, you know, it's been used to skillfully tear us apart. It's been a while since we've had that kind of message that actually unifies us across these ideological and racial and ethnic divisions.
I totally agree with you. I think it's interesting, just the way that our society is, and like you were saying about 9/11, I mean, yeah, that brought us together, but in a fear-based way. We mm-hmm. were all scared, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't feel any fear. There has been a lot of people talking, however. You know, you have a lot of doomsdayers that have talked about how, you know, Pope Francis is entering on, you know, U.S. soil has been the worst thing, you know, that could ever happen. And I don't see any sort of catechismic issues. I mean, I'm going to be honest here on perspectives, you know, always more answers, less questions. And I think that I don't see his arrival as any sort of fear base, any sort of the beginning of the opening of the Book of Revelations. I mean, I've heard a lot of this stuff out there, but I do feel like, you know, by him addressing Congress and doing various things to say, hey, we haven't really stepped up to protect Mother Earth. We really mm-hmm. haven't. And there are other countries, obviously, in the world, including China and what have you, that are polluting Mother Earth at such a rapid rate. I mean, even the stuff in Japan, even, you know, when we think about all the chemicals that are going into the ocean from Fukushima that nobody's really talking about still, and they're still trying to, like, put that under the rug. There's a lot of stuff that's going on right now that could potentially, you know, kill most of society. But not anybody really wants to look at it. They don't look at the fact that we might not have water. They don't want to look at the fact that, you know, the poles and everything that's happening, as well as, you know, basically we're having this greenhouse effect. We're having this, to me, it's just nobody wants to really look at the real issues. We want to sit there and turn on the news and find out what the Kardashians are doing.
Yeah. Or another thing I see in American public life is we're all seeing reality through this partisan lens, right? We're two teams, you're conservative, you're liberal. And it influences even how we read science. So even climate science has become like, well, that's your opinion, man. And even things that should bring us all together, like, hey, folks, we're going to roast the planet. There's overwhelming scientific consensus. And even so, you have like separate parallel universes where people choose to believe other things. And that's why I think the Pope's visit is a breath of fresh air, because he is in many ways a universal figure. He's saying he transcends partisan divides. He's saying, look, folks, you know, you got to wake up. At the end of the day, we are interconnected. So, and you have a moral duty to be truthful and to solve the problem. I think that's his address to Congress. That's largely the message there. You know, hey, folks, keep your eye on the ball. You know, you're working to score political points, but really it's about serving the common good. Remember that you're accountable to God for the choices you make. You know, it's helpful because there are so few figures who are really outside of our political divides. Everyone, you know, whenever anyone says anything in the media, they always say, well, he would say that he's liberal, or he would say that he's conservative. And it's all about the political horse race. No one is ever asking, well, what's true? What's right? And Pope Francis is saying those things, finally.
I agree with that. And I listen to a lot of talk show hosts out there, and I think everybody can kind of fill in the blanks of who I'm discussing. And it's not that I don't believe in party politics. And sometimes I've been conservative very much in nature. Other times I'm an environmentalist, maybe not liberal, but an environmentalist. But I do hear stuff sometimes that I literally, you can't dispel the truth. I mean, we see what's going on. We see global warming. We can't dispel the truth. And you have some people sitting there going, oh, well, no, it's getting colder. It's getting colder. I mean, it snowed in Boston, XYZ. But nobody's really looking at the reality of it. And there is no party politics when it comes down to, will we have drinking water? There is no party politics when it comes down to, yes, the polar bears are dying. There's no place for them to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, the pictures tell the story. And you can't really ignore it. That's the key, is like a lot of times people try to ignore the fact that things are happening, but the reality of the truth of the matter is the truth. And I think that we've been trying to skirt this issue for a long time. And I know for a fact, when you turn on the news, especially in the United States, and I'm not saying that every other country is not doing whatever they're doing for their own good or for their own reasoning, but I'm saying that they're not really telling us the real truth, and they're not talking about the real news. I mean, I think that finally we got to see the Pope show up, and there was some commentary on CNN, and for all y'all listening, like things like, oh, look, the Vatican police have overcome the FBI because he's allowing these kids to come up to him in the Pope mobile, and he just touched his kid and kissed his kid's head. Oh my gosh, they have higher rank. Look at this, guys. Okay, he's taking out the FBI now. The Secret Service are now. But I think that when you look past a little bit of just that gyration of whatever that is, liberal, conservative, let's just put people up in arms and have people fighting, I think when we take that away, we have to look at the real issue. We look at the real issue of rights, mm-hmm. freedom, and then the ability to take care of our environment and Mother Earth, that there's, I mean, we can't really turn our back on that. And so what is it that, with your faith in Texas, I mean, when you really organize this group and as the executive director, I mean, what is this, like, kind of the principles of actions that you believe that, you know, an authentic person lives by?
Well, I think this idea that everyone matters is right up there. And I think being concerned about, you know, your neighbor, and also about your own family. So we're organizing a lot of people who are, some of us are middle income, some of us are fairly privileged. But a lot of our base are people who, you know, are low income, you might say blue collar. And so a lot of our message for them is that our country needs your voice, right? So taking responsibility for the whole, when you're affected by a broken system, you have a responsibility to pay it forward and to make sure the system gets fixed. That lost sense of duty to our country, it almost sounds old fashioned, but we want to bring that back. We're bringing duty back. And also a sense of justice. So not just compassion. We start with compassion. So seeing another person's humanity, being moved, feeling their pain, you know, it's almost a cliche, feeling their pain, but also understanding what are the broken systems that are causing that pain. So it's the move in Texas, I think we're a very generous state. I mean, I think if you look at our philanthropy, our generosity, there are a few states that are as compassionate as Texas. Where we tend to lose our way, though, is in the concern about justice and the common good and the strength of our institutions. So, you know, for example, public education used to be the pride of the nation. We had some of the best public schools in the country. My family, our whole mobility out of poverty was through Texas public schools. And yet, you know, we have a lot of people in our state who are just basically indifferent to whether we have quality education for all kids. And I think that speaks to a moral failure in our culture. So it's a moral message that we're bringing. And we're really focusing on the problems that affect low-income, blue-collar families and putting those at the center of our conversation, because that really gets lost. I mean, when you talk about liberal versus conservative, what you notice is the issues that divide us ideologically, often what gets lost in the shuffle is the things that are closest to people who are economically struggling. That's what gets missed. And I think that's what's closest to Pope Francis's heart. And to do that, you really have to bring their voices to the center of the conversation. And that means bringing basically magnifying their voices within their own faith tradition first. Because, you know, in church, you might often hear about caring for the poor. But where do you hear about the leadership of poor people of faith? Right? That's totally missing. That's what we're trying to fill.
I love that. And Lydia, I'm so glad that you're able to come into the studio tonight here on Perspectives. And I look forward to hearing from you here in the future. And I look forward to hearing more about faith in Texas. And I'm so glad you're able to make it.
Thanks, Ashley. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Hey, when we were trying to be talking more about Pope Francis, about my thoughts on his appearance here in the United States and where we're going from there, stay tuned. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about Pope Francis. We've been talking about his speeches and his appearance here in the United States and what that means. I appreciate Lydia for joining us here in the studio. And now I want to talk frank about some of the things that I'm thinking. I have to agree that I think that it was a nice gesture, and I believe that there's lots of good comments and good thoughts. I believe that we have to really focus on our authentic self. I don't think that we have to look outside of ourselves to listen to someone to tell us what to do. I like the fact that he has a message of positiveness. You know, but I do think there's a little bit lacking on certain levels when it comes to the thought process in the United States. A lot of us have come from families of meager resources. And some of these families, we have worked really hard to make something, to create something, to be entrepreneurs. And I think that this entrepreneurship is a very interesting concept too, because I think that we're able to create something and we work really hard to make something for ourselves and for our family. And that's something I don't want the United States to lose. I mean, I think that's part of our freedom to make ourselves better, our freedom to rise above some of our personal issues, our family issues, our financial issues, and jump to that next level and embrace it. And I think that in that case, there's certain things that Pope Francis talks about that I might not agree with, but there's certain things that I do. You know, I don't like the idea. I think there's a lot of stuff that's being talked about lately about economy, and there's some words being thrown around about socialism and Marxism and all kinds of things. And to be quite honest with you, I don't agree with any of that kind of stuff. And I understand that it's not about the almighty dollar. And I think that we have to sit there and get our heads out of our butts and realize that, yeah, money's one thing, but the price of putting money first is a problem. However, the price of taking away the ability to work and to be better than you were yesterday is also a problem. And I think that we have to really think about this stuff on both sides and really kind of, you know, basically allow it to sink in a little bit, but at the same time to make our own decisions in life. I mean, you can have some of the most amazing people come up and speak with you. However, some of the things that they say will be amazing and you will resonate with them, and some of the things you will not. And I think it's good to take the good out of each situation, to see that in a formidable response and to be able to embrace that and to say, wow, that was nice. You don't have to buy into everything. You don't have to agree to everything. I don't want you to. I want you to make your own authentic choices made with clarity and honest observation. I think that only then and only then are you honestly being yourself, not bombarded by what other people want you to think, not emotionally kind of entranced in something that might not be completely real. Not actually jumping up into the pomp and circumstance that is there parading around for you. I see certain things that I do like, and there's certain things of this whole process that is endearing to me. And the thing that I took away from it more than anything is the need to be responsible with our planet Earth. And I take that into such consideration, and I think that this goes across all party lines. No matter how conservative or how liberal you are, you've got to embrace the fact that we have to take care of our Earth. There's no way around this. This is extremely real. Don't buy into people telling you that it doesn't exist, because it does. And I'm not sitting there agreeing with what a lot of people tout, but I am saying that in general, the environment needs our help. There's some things that I can take from the speech that I might not necessarily buy into, that I might not necessarily understand the implication of what is being said. Is there a reason behind it? Is there an agenda? I don't know. But I will say that the environment thing stood out to me, and I do think that we have to embrace that, and we need to make laws, and Congress needs to step up to the plate to begin to do what's right by our planet. And if you want to take a few things away from the show, tonight's show, you know, the first thing is I'm not going to sugarcoat things, because there are certain things that Pope Francis said that I buy into, and certain things that I might not know the implications. I might not know the clear reasoning. There's some people that have come up with the reasons what they believe. What they believe is the reasons. There's a lot of people out there that thinks that there's some doomsday things behind there. There's some issues of the book of Revelations and about how the Bible spoke of issues. And I'm not going to go down that road. But what I am going to say is, realize this. Whatever resonates with you and connects with your heart space, which connects not with the mind necessarily, but connects to a space outside of just sheer emotion. Okay? Because I can paint a picture for you and want to gain a certain emotion from you. Okay? I can paint a picture for you and I'm trying to exploit a certain feeling from you. Take away all that. Close your eyes and feel. You know what I'm talking about. When you walk into a room and you start speaking to somebody for just a minute, you usually, if you're really observing and you're consciously observing with no personal agenda, you will know the kind of people that you're in contact with. You'll know if that person is genuine at heart. You'll know if that person has an agenda. you'll know if some of the things they talk about is really good and some of the things are really real and some of the things maybe they're a little off with. And you'll know if somebody is really speaking from the heart or if they're speaking from another place. You know, I think that it took guts for the Pope to speak, and I think that there's some things that we can sit there and take from it and some things maybe you want to leave. But I think that we have to look at it in the concept of what is authentic to us. In order to find what's authentic to you, you've got to open up your heart, open up your mind, and open up your eyes. And it begins with treating yourself with respect and love. And that begins at a cellular level of being able to show yourself love, to care for yourself, and to believe in what you offer. When you actually love yourself, you have the ability to truly and honestly love other people. And I want to give you a clue real quick. One of the ways that I live by my life, something that's gotten me very far on a spiritual level, on an attainment level, and as a human being, is the concept that I'm able to love every single person I come into contact with. And I know some of you out there go, that's crazy. But you know, for the most part, for everybody, you should be able to love every single person, every single animal, every single planet, every single piece of grass, every single plant, every single weed that's there. It's fundamental. And when we get rid of our personal hate, and we get rid of our insecurity and our wondering of what we're going to do, and we find purpose in our life, we also begin to find the purpose of everything else. And I agree that there are some people out there that are not doing very well by others. There are some people out there that aren't doing very good by themselves. There are some people out there that are taking their lives in their hands on a daily basis by doing drugs and alcohol and completely missing the point of why they're here on this planet. However, whatever they're doing is whatever they're doing. And the same goes for this recent visit of Pope Francis. What you were able to resonate with that he said that you believe and that you feel at a heart level, at the core level of our life, what you feel is true, embrace. The rest of it you can let go. Because I think that everybody has something to offer in this world. Everybody has something to offer, and everybody has truth to impart. But you have your absolute truth. And if you can look within yourself and feel what resonates with you and find out what matters to you, you can push aside all this stuff and be able to see what's happening in your life with full and honest clarity. I like the concept of helping the environment. I like the concept of people seeing each other as equals. I like the concept of people seeing people and showing other people respect and giving them respect and them feeling the dignity that they need and sought after and they deserve. But again, it all goes back to how we deal with ourselves. When we show ourselves respect, we're able to give it. When we show ourselves and treat ourselves with dignity, we're able to treat other people with dignity. When we give ourselves self-love, we're able to love everybody that comes into contact with us. Do you see what I'm saying? It starts with you. It doesn't start with President Obama. It doesn't start with the U.S. It doesn't start with Pope Francis. It doesn't start with the White House lawn. It doesn't start with the Popemobile. It starts with you. And it all resonates with you. In the very end, all you have is you. You come into this earth. You come into this life on your own. You do the same on the way out. What you feel and know is true. Let the rest of it go. Stay tuned. I got a great show for you next. And I look forward to having more authentic talks. Here in the future, we're going to be doing some live Periscope shows where I can't wait to involve y'all, where you can ask direct questions and we can have a communication. And I look forward to that. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments for me, I want to hear them. Go to AshleyBurgess.com, Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com. Go on and click that contact page. Send me a message and I will respond within 24 hours. Stay tuned. I got a great show for you next. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. Remember, always more answers, less questions. And Perspectives with me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. We'll be back this time in three shakes.